God chooses to reveal himself in this way. He says, I am the God who heals. We believe that he is the one who heals, Jehovah Rapha, because we have seen it. Have you seen the log thrown into the bitter water? The healing of Jesus is the sweet water. Amen.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Tommy. Thanks for joining us today at the church at Bushland. Man, we pray that your faith will be encouraged and inspired from today's message.
When Rapha International was founded over 20 years ago, our first survivor care campus in Battambang, Cambodia, was called Rapha House. Rapha means healing in Hebrew. The vision was for healing to happen within those walls. Soon, it became evident that the work of Rapha would extend far beyond the walls of that house. Now, more than 20 years later, Rapha is a thriving, multifaceted organization that provides high-quality services within and well beyond our residential survivor care campuses.
Rapha provides holistic treatment and residential survivor care programs for young survivors of trafficking and sexual abuse, while providing safe shelter during a season when a child needs a safe place to stay.
Rapha also provides non-residential survivor care to survivors of trafficking and abuse in non-residential settings. Rapha counselors provide non-residential trauma-focused counseling at several locations, including the United States.
Rapha staff work tirelessly on outreach and advocacy. In addition to serving individual children and their families, Rapha works to shape communities by providing outreach and training on abuse, prevention, human trafficking, and trauma.
Rapha staff and leadership understand that strengthening families is the best way to keep children safe. Accordingly, all of Rapha's programs contain elements that provide support and resources to families. Rapha is honored to be a part of each child's journey and to witness the healing and hope that Jesus provides in their lives and in the lives of their family members. With Rapha, children and families find hope within our walls and well beyond them. Our goal for every person served by Rapha is the same: sustainable freedom within a safe community.
Well, good morning, friends. My name again is Jessica Pommert, and I am the development director for Rapha International. Let me tell you what, last night, I got to hang out with the Morrison family, and they can party. We had so much fun. We went to Los Brazos? Braceros. I say it wrong every time, and I speak some Spanish. Anyway, Los Braceros, and I did tear up when I had the mole enchiladas. They were so good. And I'll tell you, in Missouri, we have a ton of squirrels. And here you don't have squirrels. You have prairie dogs. And I might be silly, but I just think they're the most adorable things. They crack me up when they're like popping up and down. I've been really enjoying watching them. And I know all you property owners are like, you're nuts, because I heard they destroy things like our squirrels do in Missouri. So anyway, I've been having a lot of fun hanging out with y'all here in Bushland. And so thanks again for having me. I'm so happy to be here, not only to share about the work that Rapha is doing, but also about the heart of God that motivates it. Rapha International was founded over 20 years ago in a city called Battambang in the country of Cambodia. It was founded with a vision rooted in the safety and the hope and the freedom of Jesus Christ. Amen? We serve children who are survivors of trafficking and sexual abuse. And the work that we do is hard. It's complex, but it's holy. Our mission is immense, but our God is so much bigger. And through him, we are ending the trafficking and sexual abuse of children, one child, one family, and one community at a time. I do want to start this with a little bit of a disclaimer. If this has touched your life and it gets to be a little bit overwhelming, or you feel your body starting to feel, oh, I can't handle this, it's okay. Stand up, go get a drink of water, go to the bathroom, take a walk, do whatever you need to do. I don't want to traumatize anyone in this room. So I just want to start with that. You are loved and you are brave for being here. I want you to catch the vision with me that we have cast, and that is that all children will live within safe communities and sustainable freedom. That is the vision that we cast with what we do at Rapha International. I want to start today with the story of Hagar. We're going to be using our awesome Bibles. I am a huge believer in biblical literacy. So if you'll open with me to Genesis chapter 16, we're going to start with the story of Hagar, who was the Egyptian servant of Sarai. In Genesis, we learn about two characters who would later be named the father and the mother of the nation of Israel through their son Isaac. And we learn at the beginning of the story that their names are Abram and Sarai, but later we learn that God renames them Abraham and Sarah. Many scholars and Hebrew linguists think that the adding of the he, which is a Hebrew letter, in both names holds spiritual significance. The he represents breath and spirit and divine revelation. It appears twice in the name of God, Yahweh. And in adding the hey, God was symbolically placing a portion of his name into theirs. This change marked a spiritual transformation. Abraham and Sarah were no longer just participants in history. They were vessels of promise and faith, and the breath of God, his spirit, was upon them, changing their identity to reflect their divine mission. So early in their story, as they were still Sarai and Abram, Sarai was unable to conceive a child, and she could not have any children, so she offered her servant, Hagar, to Abram. And she wanted to have a family through her, and Abram agreed, and Hagar became pregnant. Once she conceived, Hagar began to look down on Sarai, which led to conflict, as you can imagine. Feeling wronged, Sarai blamed Abram, which he responded with by giving her full authority over Hagar. Gosh, there's so much meaning in those words, full authority, looking down on, leading to conflict. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 16, if you'll turn with me. We're going to start in verse 6. "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be the wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. Hagar was an Egyptian slave, used, abused, and abandoned. Her body was not her own. When Sarai mistreated her so severely that she ran away to the wilderness where there is no protection, no food, no people around, that had to be pretty severe, right? Of mistreatment. God found her in the wilderness. Amen? Let's look again at Genesis 16, 13, which says, "Thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, 'You are the God who sees me.'" This is the first time in scripture that someone has named God. She calls him El Roy, the God who sees. In the same way, God sees the children that we serve at Rapha International. He sees the girls hidden away in brothels and massage parlors. He sees those trapped by poverty and betrayed by those who should have protected them. He sees the suffering, and he does not turn away. Before 2003, there were few organizations doing the work in Cambodia and reaching out to girls in this specific dark place. A little history is that before in the 1990s, after the Khmer Rouge genocide, and after years of civil unrest, Cambodia was marked by a few things. Trauma from the deaths of so many people, broken trust in the government, extreme loss, weak law enforcement and governance, widespread poverty, corruption, and limited public awareness about human trafficking. This environment made the country a significant source, transit, and destination for human trafficking, particularly involving women and children. Cambodia lacked strong anti-trafficking legislation until the early 2000s. Before 2003, there were ad hoc legal tools that could be used, but limited enforcement. In 1996, a law was enacted called the Law of Suppression of Kidnapping, Trafficking, and Exploitation of Human Persons. And that was one of the earliest legal efforts by Cambodia to stop this. But this trajectory was changed by Joe Garman, one of our founders, who traveled to Cambodia to meet with Christians who had found comfort in and a relationship with Jesus as they were living in refugee camps on the border of Thailand and Cambodia. They had come back, and they were needing some instruction in how to form a church. Leadership. How do we do this? What do we do next? And so as he was meeting with them, he intended to share a message. But what he found was a mission. The Cambodian believers lived in the atrocity of human trafficking every day, knowing the truth. They were broken by the evils that they saw because of the spirit within them. They saw this work, and they began to do it themselves. They began to try to fight this themselves, and they invited us to join the fight. The fight was not just to change the hearts of a few, but an entire culture. Can you fathom? It was the norm in their culture. Joe Garman was confronted with this terrible truth as he met with the believers. Children, some as young as 4, were being bought and sold as commodities. Their innocence stolen. Their bodies exploited hour after hour, day after day, until they were discarded, they died, or they were rescued. And that rescue had not yet begun. Joe returned home with a question to his daughter, Stephanie Freed, who is our CEO and one of our founders. It was over a brief dinner time conversation. They were debriefing about his trip. And he looked at her and said, a very important question that ignited Rafa's work. He said, what are we going to do about this? Stephanie was compelled to go to Cambodia. She was compelled to go and see for herself, and what she saw broke her heart. How could it not? She was changed forever, and she, along with her father and a handful of believers, founded Rafa International in Cambodia. The grace of God pierced through the darkness enveloping these children. He loves and sees these children, amen? They are worthy of love, worthy of rescue, and worthy of freedom, and worthy of healing. She found this work was worth every child, but the need was overwhelming. It was everywhere. It was going to take more than a handful of believers to turn the tide. This work is hard, it's complex, but it's holy. At any given moment in this world right now, 50 million people are experiencing human trafficking. And we know that 1/4 of those people are children. 12 million children right now. Right now. 12 million. Would you join us to bring that relief? 12 million. One of my favorite phrases in scripture is, but God. Every time you see it in scripture, there's some kind of hard truth that's spoken. And then you see, but God, and you go, oh, thank God. there's hope coming. There's always something hopeful put at the end of a "but God" statement, and I'm so grateful for that. But God, I would love to tell you about a story, but God saw Anchali. Can I tell you Anchali's story? Anchali, near the end of 2024, she was part of four young girls that were rescued from human trafficking and brought to Rafa's TTF Protection Center. It's an additional security facility, and all four girls were rescued when a police raided a karaoke bar, and it revealed that minors are being trafficked for labor and commercial sex. One of the girls, Anchali, had been recruited from outside the city when a trafficker posed as a 15-year-old boy. And 15-year-old Anchali built an online relationship with this young man who she believed to be her age. He showered her with attention and affirmation, occasionally sent her money. In a short time, Anchali felt devoted to the boy. And she looked forward to a future with him. He asked her, "Come join me in the city." So she went to the city, and he sent her money for the transportation. When Anchali arrived in the city, she went to a karaoke bar where she was supposed to meet him. He was nowhere to be found. Instead, she found a small group of girls her age and was given alcohol to drink. And the girls told her that she could drink alcohol with men, and then she could make some money doing that. She didn't have any money to get home or any way to contact her family. And that night, she was sexually assaulted by several men. Over the following weeks and months, Anchali was forced to work in the bar day and night and was subjected to the sexual exploitation at night. And when the bar was raided by local law enforcement professionals, Anchali and three other girls were brought directly to the TTF Protection Center, thank God. The men who ran the bar were known by police to be dangerous criminals, and the girls needed a highly secure environment in which to heal and to live and to grow while the case against their traffickers was adjudicated. Over several months, Anchali and the other girls settled into a life at the TTF Protection Center, becoming accustomed to safety and love and peace after such a terrible ordeal. Today, Rafa's social workers continue to work with each girl's parents, preparing for the day when they will be safely returned to their families and communities. Here a quote from Anchali. She said, "It feels like it happened so fast, but then feels like it lasted forever. At first, I was afraid to go to a new place because I didn't know what would happen. But I learned that this is a safe place and that people here could help me." We are so grateful that God saw Anchali and provided a safe place for her to heal at Rafa CTF Protection Center. God is the God who sees. Amen? We know that God is also a God who rescues. It is the very name of his son. Jesus' name means the Lord saves. Let me tell you a quick story from my own life. It was the 4th of July, and my precious little 2-year-old was getting a little overwhelmed with the fireworks. And we told her, just stay close to mom and dad, just listen to us, and you'll be fine. And at one point, she got so overwhelmed that she ran into my arms screaming, "I'm safe! I'm safe!" There's something sacred in that moment. She didn't run away from fear. She ran towards safety, and she ran to the arms that she trusted, the voice that promised her she would be okay. And even as she was afraid, she declared the truth, "I'm safe. I'm safe." Isn't that the kind of safety that our hearts long for, church? The kind that doesn't remove every threat, but it meets us in the chaos and it says, "You're not alone. I've got you." That's the safety that God offers us. And it's a safety that he longs to offer for every child, every soul, especially the most vulnerable, like those we serve in Cambodia, Thailand, and in Haiti. Who will tell them that our God is safe? That they are deeply loved and cherished and worth the fight for freedom? Our Heavenly Father has arms open wide for those who are afraid, abused, and overwhelmed. He says, "I'm safe," through his people. Take a moment to ponder, church. Is that what we communicate with our actions? Do we reflect the Father's heart to those who are downcast and discarded. We are the bride of Christ. It's through us that the world can see his goodness and find their refuge. The psalmist continually reminds us that God is our refuge and strength. In Psalm 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. In Psalm 18:2, it says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust, the shield and horn of my salvation, my stronghold. We see this in the New Testament too. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Amen. He sent his son Jesus to rescue us, and his name is called Jesus, which literally means God saves. God is a God who rescues, but often his rescue comes through us. That's the miracle. That's the calling. Rapha exists because people like you said yes to being part of God's rescue mission. To respond to the pleas for rescue from these exploited children, God's arms are open wide to the exploited. And through Rapha, through your giving and your praying, you become his arms. We've seen the girls rescued from horrifying circumstances. We've seen families reunited, cycles of exploitation broken, hope restored. And through your prayers and your giving, you become part of that rescue. You extend God's arms to the broken. We do this life-giving work through two main avenues, survivor care and prevention. We are best known for the care of survivors of trafficking and sexual abuse. Rapha's survivor care programs give child survivors the opportunity to reclaim their lost childhoods. That hits hard, doesn't it? We provide residential and non-residential care for children who have already been impacted by trafficking and abuse. Survivor care programming at Rapha is built on four keys to freedom: safety, healing, education, and social work. I want to bring back this character in Chali. We've changed her name for her safety, but I want you to consider her as I talk about this. And Chali will walk through our campus and hear the quiet voices of staff assisting and helping and interacting with the girls around her. She will see that the other girls do not shrink back in fear from the staff. She will hear carefree laughter as she watches other girls play volleyball and swing on the swing set. She will be shown the dining hall where she will have three meals per day, no exceptions. No matter how her behavior is, no matter what happens throughout the day, there will always be three meals offered. You will not be exploited in that way. You know, girls who are stuck in trafficking are punished by removing food from them. That never happens at Rapha, never. She will be shown and she will be able to feel the fabric on the bed that she will share with no one. It will be her bed. She will feel safe. And Chali, how will she heal? She will be seen by doctors right away to address any health issues she might have. Does she have broken bones? Does she have cuts and bruises? Are there gynecological issues that need to be addressed? And Chali will meet her counselor, who will walk her through the tangled web of separating her identity from what has happened to her. And she will be experiencing 1,000 moments of healing and hope as she slowly opens up her battered heart. She will have an opportunity to heal. And Chali will find safety and freedom in education. She'll have a teacher sit with her and walk her through her homework in the evening. She will experience grace as she is distracted from the trauma that keeps resurfacing over and over in her brain. She will learn the terms for what happened to her and grieve the loss of trust and family. She will begin to hope for her future and dream of things that she can do that will fill her soul with a sense of purpose. She will be educated. And Chali will meet her very own social worker, who will sit with her as she has to tell her story to the authorities. Her social worker will sit with her to make plans for her future. Sometimes, and Chali and girls like her will not receive justice on this earth. And Charlie will work with her social worker to find the safest way to reintegrate back into society, hopefully with her own family and community. She will receive care for at least 1 year after reintegration, and she will know where to find the resources if she ever finds herself in an unsafe situation again. The road out is a long one for our girls. We've been providing prevention care from the beginning as well, and we wrap vulnerable, bracingly poor communities with resources and relationships through our prevention programming. We move in and care for the children and families in these communities. We provide Bible lessons, crafts, singing, preschool, needs assessments, food distribution, social work, counseling, and resources. It's a community center. A community is formed and strengthened when parents are empowered to keep their children safe and they have the resources and the education to do so. The best way I can describe the efficacy of our prevention programming is to tell you another story, and this one is about Chani. Chani and her mother and grandmother all lived at a local temple where homeless people often congregate in these areas. And Chani's mother had stomach issues and her grandmother had hepatitis. And occasionally, the monks in this temple would allow them to clean parts of the temple for a small stipend. But you can imagine how vulnerable and unsafe the situation is. Rafa's prevention workers found this family, and they saw that Chani was absent from school more often than she was present. And they saw that they didn't have the identification paperwork that they needed in order to get any kind of help. And so they were unknown to the government. So this prevention specialist came and they provided this paperwork. They worked with them, with the local authorities, to get their identification paperwork in place. And they worked with a local NGO, and they were able to apply for a house. So they built them a house. And now Chani gets to live in this house with her mom and her grandmother, and she is at school more often than she is not. She is caught up to grade level. Along with this stability of safe housing, they received much-needed counseling and support from Rafa's prevention staff. She is a regular participant at our prevention program activities, including extra education, after-school tutoring, Bible studies. Chani's family struggles are not over, but they are taking important steps for their future. Chani is safe and protected, and her future is bright. And she was protected from the horrors of trafficking because she was noticed. Rescue is just the beginning. Healing is a longer journey. It's a long road out, friends. Many of the girls that we serve carry deep, life-altering, identity-twisting wounds. Trauma lies to them. It says that they're not worth it. They're worthless. They're shameful. They're broken beyond repair. But that's not God's voice, is it, friends? We know that God is a God who sees Elroy. We know that he is the God that rescues and saves. He is Jesus. God is also Jehovah Rapha, which means God heals. We at Rapha International chose to take God at his word, and we have grabbed on to the name of God with both hands, drawing our very identity from his name. And this name comes from chapter 15 of Exodus. If you'll turn there with me. The people of God had just seen one incredible sign after another. God had rescued them, performing one incredible sign after another. They were 3 days into this unbelievable journey with the living God, exhausted from the trauma of being chased by a massive army, worn out from camping in the desert, learning how to trust this incredible God with immeasurable power. Read with me, starting in 15, verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out to the desert of Shur. For 3 days, they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah, so that the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" They had just watched an enormous army be swallowed up in the waters of the Red Sea. They had just worshipped the God that they were serving and following with a song of salvation. The whole community broke out in the same song. My mind is blown that they all sang this song together. How could they keep from singing after watching such an incredible act? And now they were out of water. 3 days of searching. And when they found water, it was bitter, undrinkable, unsafe. Can you put yourselves there? The exhausted, thirsty people grumbled to Moses. I would too. God was testing them. He had shown up for them over and over, perplexing them and guiding them. Let's read again, starting in verse 25. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. Can you imagine how 12 springs and 70 palm trees were to see the relief that it would bring, the rest it provided? I think it would be a healing experience. God chooses to reveal himself in this way. He says, I am the God who heals. We believe that he is the one who heals, Jehovah Rapha, because we have seen it. Have you seen the log thrown into the bitter water? The healing of Jesus is the sweet water. Amen. Through therapy, education, discipleship, unconditional love, we offer truth. Our chief clinical officer, Angie Brower, leads the charge in our trauma-informed care, helping survivors and vulnerable people can reclaim their stories and walk in healing. Not only does she direct the expanded Hope and Healing Center in Joplin, but she also continues to train and guide professional therapists employed by Rapha International in Cambodia and in Thailand and in Haiti, those who are native to those countries who are professionals. Our trauma-informed care model has impacted over 5,000 people in 2024 alone. Will you partner with us to provide this lifeline of trauma-informed care to thousands? Can I tell you the story of another young girl that we've served that we'll call Bailey? Bailey was referred to the Hope and Healing Center in the U.S. after being placed in foster care. She was initially removed from her home because of her mother's drug addiction, and it had prevented her from caring for and protecting Bailey. Soon after the arrival in foster care, she disclosed that a man who was a friend of her mother had sexually abused her on several occasions. When she began therapy at Rapha's Hope and Healing Center, Bailey was afraid of many things. She was afraid because she was separated from her mother. She was afraid she wouldn't be taken care of. And she was afraid because she had disclosed the abuse that she had experienced. Her abuser had threatened her and told her that he would hurt her and her mother if she ever said anything. It took Bailey a long time to process these fears. She felt guilty and embarrassed about what had happened to her. After many weeks of play therapy and art therapy, she began to feel comfortable with her therapist. It allowed her to feel confident and safe to share with her relationship with her therapist, and confident and safe to share the bad things that had happened to her. Only then was Bailey able to separate what was done to her from who she was and began that process of healing. She learned you are not what has happened to you. What has happened to you is not your identity. And that's made all the difference for her. God is a God who heals. And at Rapha, we've seen transformation from shame to dignity, from despair to joy, from silence to song. We've seen survivors who've experienced the unimaginable. And it's our privilege and our mandate to provide evidence-based tools for our girls to walk this journey of healing. It is not linear, and it is a long road out. As our girls have experienced innumerable traumas, opportunities to walk through their healing and to learn that they are a child of the Most High King has made all the difference. Church, you are part of this story. When you pray, when you give, when you advocate, you are saying, I see. You are stepping into the heart of God and you're saying, I'm here to help rescue. And you are helping us to provide every opportunity for our girls to heal and our communities to be safer for these children. But the work isn't over. There are still more children unseen. Still waiting, dark, dangerous places that are terrifying, asking if they'll be seen and heard. So I want to ask you today, will you partner with us? Will you give individually so another child can be rescued? Will you pray for God to move so another girl can have the opportunity to heal? Just as Joe Garman asked all those years ago, what are we going to do about this? Let's return to Hagar. In the wilderness, in that moment, she was seen by God. And in seeing her, he gave her a promise. Today we have seen, today we have heard, and now we must respond. God is the God who sees. God is the God who heals. God is the God who rescues. This work is hard, but it is holy. Would you, the church at Bushland, partner with us in this holy work? Maybe some of you are moved to join in this, but you have some more questions. I'd be happy to answer them. I'll be out at my table out here. I'd love to talk to you. But you know, providing support for Rafa is one thing, and caring for the children that we are caring for overseas, but there are children right here in Bushland, right here in Amarillo, that are waiting, that need help. You have a foster care system. Support that. Support people who are fostering. Support families. Provide respite care. Consider how you can be helpful to your own community. Because trafficking and exploitation isn't just in all these other countries and these more vulnerable communities. It's happening right here in your own backyard. Do not turn away. Advocate for these children. Advocate for them. See them in their trauma. Be part of the healing. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this with you. And I just want to say, it's some heavy things to think about, church. It's heavy. And when we carry heavy stories, we've got to find joy on the other side, right? Today, carry those two together. They can both exist, heaviness and joy, in the same place. Would you pray with me? Almighty Father, giver of life and light, would you bless this church with wisdom and life-giving action? Would you continue to bless Rafa International, sustaining the work that you have begun? Thank you that you are the God who sees, the God who rescues, and the God who heals. In Jesus' name, amen.
So it's hard to just kind of go into music right here and not think about kind of the heaviness of what it is. I think a lot of times when we hear something like there's a couple of different responses. Sometimes it's so overwhelming to the point it moves you to tears. Second thing is sometimes it just goes over like water on a duck's back. And I don't know that that's really me. I don't really need to be involved in that. I totally get. We want to only respond to what God wants to do. That I don't want you to walk out of here feeling guilty if this didn't capture you in some ways. There's so many different aspects of God's heart that are so sweet to attach to. Amen? And things that he ultimately cares about. When I heard this 10 years ago, here was my first response. Y'all know me, I'm a little bit of a realist and a redneck at the same time. And I wanted to just get every gun we had and kill every one of them that does something to those girls. Like, that's what I'm gonna do for my little girl. If somebody did that to my little girl, I wanna kill them all. Denzel Washington style, you know what I mean? I wanna kill them all. And then I remember though, this is where as a man, you gotta remember the kind of justice that God can bring is way better than your hands and feet. As a man, he is a God of justice. He doesn't just go after one. He goes after them all. And we as men, we can't do that without the help of God in what we're doing. And what was so sweet for me during this time with Rapha House is I was figuring out, God, what can I do? I don't have a ton of money that I can give. And I don't think that Rapha's just coming here to say that that's what they want. I think your hands and feet are really important in this. There's awareness trips and there's different things that we're gonna hopefully have opportunities for you to connect with. That's why you go to a resource table. But for me, I got the opportunity to be a part of a movement in this. And we teenagers across East Texas, we raised like 50 grand to put into the administration building there that would be a part of the safe house where these girls would go. And I remember one of my favorite things to do in life. I remember going, and I got to go for 2 weeks on their awareness trip and go to Cambodia. And I remember going to that safe house and knowing that, like, I don't have much to give, but knowing, looking at that building as it was being built, I remember grabbing dirt off the ground and I put it in a mason jar. And on that mason jar in my office, it says, fight the good fight of faith. It is a worthy cause. And there is nothing better than to take ground from the enemy and to be a part of it. And to take that ground that meant nothing to me before, that is now holy ground in my heart. Because I got to be a part of that moment in history, that moment of time. And it's sweet when God does those portions and those things in our life. And I know these things are overwhelming, but at the same time, what is Jesus saying to you? Some of you, you don't trace the roots correctly. A lot of sex trafficking exists because the main cause and symptom is pornography. Pornography birthed so many different things through the sexual revolution and everything that happened. And there's so much collateral damage that has come out of that. Pornography exists in some of your homes. It exists, men and boys in here, it exists in your heart right now. And it's fueling awful, terrible things that are happening to people. And you're a part of that if you're entangled in those things. This is not just about Rapha International. This is about God saying to you as men, women, children, make sure you're on the other side of the river in this and you're fighting the good fight. If you're not and you're entangled in some yuck things in the darkness, let me tell you, he's the God that heals. He's the God that still loves you in your filth right now. That's why we do ministry at the end of this. That's why we have ministry teams. That's why we have the altar. Because I don't know what God's speaking to you. It's not just about this one ministry. It's about God's heart for you, God's heart for Cambodia, Haiti, Thailand, all the places. We're all God's people, amen? So think about what Jesus is saying to you and how you're supposed to connect. And what is Rapha supposed to mean to you? What is that? Maybe it's just a simple prayer and you add them into your prayer time. That is awesome and incredible. I think those are good things. Maybe it's about, I got to put my hands and feet on this. I got to give to this. I don't know what it is, but I know God is sweet and good. And there's a reason that we have a lead pastor that allows us to continue to connect with things to me that are connected to God's heart. You heard about Israel this last week. You hear about a heavy subject like sex trafficking. Those things are difficult. We know. But it is a part of God's heart. And there is nothing better than to grab dirt and to know, ooh, this is holy now, right? I'm a part of that journey with God. And so just want to encourage you to fight the good fight, church, on things that ultimately matter, okay? Stand with me. I'm just going to pray. Jessica, thank you so much for coming. So sweet to have her in the house and her friend Kara. Grab the hand next to you if you are right there. God, I know I gave this image and give it just a couple of images when I went to Cambodia. I think it's real sweet, all the memories that you bring in my mind. I remember going into the streets of one of the cities that we went to, one of the biggest tourist cities in Cambodia. And I remember standing in the street and watching all of these European white males go on the back of all these brothels. Woo. Never forget it. The image of what evil looks like. I'll never forget going to the temple and looking at one of the seventh wonders of the world and coming out on the back side of it. And the wave of children that came running at me as far as I could see and running at me and my wife, trying to sell everything to you and trying to make quota so that they don't get beaten at night by their slave trader that's somewhere hidden in the bushes. Woo! I pray that they would remember this is not just informative. We are in a war with the enemy. And we are working from victory, not to it, because of the cross and the resurrection, it's been laid down and over. Jesus has the victory, God. But we are called to fight the fight, God. And I will never forget the last image I want to leave in our people's mind. I will never forget going into these safe houses and thinking that these girls are just going to be devastated, and how are we going to talk to them, and how are we going to... And I remember playing volleyball with them and having water balloon fights and getting hit and them leading worship. And all the devastation, you can bring redemption. And on that dirt in that safe house, the enemy doesn't have turf. And so we're thankful, God, that we have the opportunity to connect with your heart this morning. Birth what you want to birth in this, God. We trust you. Bless Rafa, God. Continue to give them the avenue of your heart towards children and people that need it, God. In whatever way that the church at Bushland can connect and do what we need to do, God, you do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today here at the Church at Bushland online. Hey, if you were inspired by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Just drop a message in the comments, or you could email us at info@thechurchatbushland.com. We'd love to hear what God's doing in your life. Also, man, if there's anything we could agree for in prayer with you guys, just text the word pray to 806-557-1800. We believe there's power in agreement with the Lord. And so if we could pray for you, just do that for us. And if you'd like to connect further with us through social media, just search The Church at Bushland. You can find out more things that are coming up here and get involved that way. And then if you'd like to plan a visit, we'd love to see you face-to-face. We have services here 9 a.m., 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. You can go to our website, thechurchatbushland.com, and plan that visit, and we look forward to meeting you that way. Finally, man, just thanks again for joining us. Pray your faith was encouraged, and we look forward to journeying with you in the days ahead. So have a blessed day.